Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx, a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something directly from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable 90-some years later. Spoiler alert, the answer is just about every single one of them. We're looking at issue number 13 today, which contains the editorial from Theodore Animan, an original tie for Lodes by Ottokar Fischer, Higher Magic by Theodore Animan, The Super Slates by Anonymous, Cards and a Newspaper by Arthur Johnson, and Aces of Eight by Otis Manning. In the editorial for issue number 13, Animan opens by noting the obvious. He's publishing a newsletter called The Jinx on issue number 13 with two black cats over his head. He was apparently advised that putting a birthday cake on the cover would be bad luck. His response is that if any black cat crosses his path at this point, the cat is the one who should be worried. From there, he gets into something that reads like a genuine pet theory. Why, he asks, do magicians always do things in threes? Three rising cards, three climaxes, three repetitions of the same effect. Animan argues this is psychologically wrong. The first time something happens, the audience is surprised and mystified. The second time, they're still mystified even if the surprise has gone. The third time, you risk nullifying even that. He uses a nice analogy. It's like seeing a film twice. The first time is great. The second time, maybe a little disappointing. You don't go a third time. He describes a friend who does a rising card effect with a borrowed deck and glass and does it exactly once. One card, selected and initialed, rises slowly and beautifully. Cards and glass are handed over, done. Animan's point is that the restraint is the thing. So a little sidebar here. The rule of three isn't something magicians invented. Things arranged in threes feel complete and satisfying to human brains, beginning, middle, end. So Animan is pushing back against something that's hardwired in us. I disagree with his argument of threes, but I will agree that if you're going to do something three times, don't do it exactly the same way. And I'm not talking about method. I'm talking about what the audience perceives. If you have four coins you want to produce, don't do the exact same thing four times. Bring out four coins openly, realize one is missing, and then magically produce that one. It's better theatrically than four times of wiggling your fingers and saying, here's the first coin, and here's the second coin, and here's the third. Yeah, we are pattern-seeking animals, and we saw the pattern after the second one, so now you're just wasting our time. Sidebar over, back to Animan's editorial. There's a brief callback to last issue's birdcage discussion. Animan has since learned that Robert Heller did a version where the cage appeared empty at the start, a bird was brought on by an assistant and vanished on its way to the performer's hands, and then the empty cage itself was vanished. So there's a nice angle for anyone who doesn't want to work with a live bird already in the cage. Animan recommends Max Holden's new binder for The Jinx. He also covers UF Grant's booklet on one-way deck effects and says card workers who want subtle material that fools other magicians should have it. Then there's a cigarette vanish by a Mr. Calvert Cole that apparently fooled Animan completely. He suspected everything except the right thing. Cole simply tongued it, extinguished it, and swallowed it. Animan acknowledges that many readers will shudder, but argues that anyone who'd seen it done the way Cole did it would admit it's worth the discomfort. He closes with an item from Andrew Brennan, building on last issue's shrinking dollar stunt. After the bill appears to shrink, Brennan's punchline is that the secret of 59-cent dollars is that they have bigger cents. A large souvenir penny appears from a regular one. Animan walks through the handling in some detail, and you can see it all at JinxNavigator.com. This one, an original tie for Lodes, is from Ottokar Fischer, a man who spent 12 consecutive years performing two-hour shows of magic, illusions, and ghost shows at a magical theater in Vienna. It's not a background detail, it's the reason this contribution carries weight. The subject is practical stagecraft rather than a performance effect. It's a method for securing a load, any object a performer needs to produce so it stays put until needed and can be released instantly without cutting, untying, or fumbling. The device is simple. It's an endless loop of cord with a ring and a dress hook threaded onto it. The load is secured diagonally, and releasing it is a single motion. You lift the hook. The heavier the load, the more securely it holds. And Fisher's note is that this comes from 12 years of professional use, which is about as good a recommendation as you can get. Full details on this, including the original diagram, is at jinxnavigator.com. This one is from Animan, and it's a departure, not a card trick or minimalism effect, but a publicity stunt. One, he says, has been a great advertising factor for him personally, and it's called Higher Magic. Take a half dollar and a postage stamp. Yes, they are more rare now than 90 years ago, but people are still mailing letters sometimes, so you don't have to explain what a stamp is. Wet both the half dollar and the stamp, press the stamp to the coin, and throw it at the ceiling with a particular motion. Done right, the coin falls back to your hand and the stamp sticks. It stays there and people notice it. Animan has a few variations. He says foreign stamps get more attention than domestic ones just by being unusual. His best version, though, involves stamps with a card name written on the back in ink, placed on a hotel ceiling during one visit, then apparently confirmed during a return visit by forcing the named card. He describes helpers calling for ladders and people staring at the ceiling for a week, wondering whether the card name is really up there. The practical notes are worth passing on. Write in ink, not in pencil. Use small stamps. Silver dollar will handle larger stamps. And if you want to make it a walking advertisement, have gummed stickers printed with your name and use those instead. Full details on this at jinxnavigator.com. This one, The Super Slates, is uncredited, and it addresses a question that anyone familiar with spirit slate effects has probably asked. If the whole point is that a message appears mysteriously, why does it only ever appear on one side? The standard two-slate setup uses a flap to hide a pre-written message, which gets revealed when the slates are opened. The audience is left wondering why only one of the two insides has writing on it. Put a little asterisk there, we'll come back to that. This version answers that. Both slates are openly numbered on all four sides before anything happens, and when they're opened at the end, there's a chalk message on the inside of each one. The method involves a choreographed sequence of moves with the flap, timed around the numbering procedure that hides and repositions the messages in plain view. The author notes that it takes a few read-throughs with actual slates in hand to get the sequence right, but that the payoff, writing on both slates, with all four numbered sides accounted for, is enough to fool well-informed conjurers. So here's a little asterisk part. That's what I think this method is best for, fooling other magicians. Because lay people, I don't think they go away wondering, why'd the ghost write something on only one of the slates? But if you want to fool the folks at the next magic meeting, get the full details at jinxnavigator.com. Cards in the Newspaper is from Arthur Johnson, and it's a prediction effect that borrows a well-known card principle and puts it to a different use entirely. The performer writes a prediction, folds it, hands it to someone. A deck is shuffled and cut by the helper into four piles. Cards are moved between the piles at the performer's direction, a sequence that looks random, and then the top card of each pile is turned over. The four cards each give a number, a page, a column, a line, and a word. A daily newspaper is picked up, those coordinates are followed, and a single word is found, and the folded prediction matches it exactly. So the card principle underneath is one that magicians will recognize, the same one that makes the classic four aces location work. Johnson's contribution is repurposing it as a newspaper prediction, which shifts the whole feel of the effect from a card trick to something closer to mentalism. A glance at the newspaper beforehand is the only other preparation needed. Full details on this is at jinxnavigator.com, and I was thinking, instead of a newspaper, you could do this as a book test. Just say the first two cards will be the page number, then the line number, and then the word. This last one, Aces of Eight, is from Otis Manning, and it's a self-contained routine built around eight aces, two from each suit, pulled from a pair of matching decks or a pinochle deck. The aces are shown face up, mixed, and cut by someone. The performer puts the cards behind his back and brings them out in pairs of matching suits. They're mixed and cut again. This time the pairs come out matching in color, but different suits. A third time, mixed colors. Then a spelling sequence where the performer deals cards one at a time, spelling red and black, with the last card of each spelling turning up the named color every time. Finally, after one more mix and cut, both hands come out from behind the back, reds in one, blacks in the other. That sounds like a really nice sequence, and the whole routine uses no sleight of hand, not in the conventional sense. The work happens behind the back, and it's a matter of arrangement and a single simple move repeated across the different phases. Manning's instruction is to learn it smoothly and perform it as one continuous effect without stopping. Full details on Aces of Eight is at jinxnavigator.com. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com right now and sign up. How much? Free. It's completely free. Use the contact form on the site. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the site, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue 14, which includes Anneman's Thoughts in the Air and almost impromptu two-person mentalism effect. Thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.